Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gov Transformer podcast series. Today we're speaking with Tony Holmes, a principal pre-sales consultant with Oracle, about the ever-expanding cyber threat landscape, the MySQL security approach, and much more. And Tony, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you, and thank you for having me.
Sure, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate your time today. And let's jump right in, and we'll start at a high level. Tell us about the ever-expanding threat landscape in today's cybersecurity arena.
Sure. I think as we see every year, I don't want to say we're at an unprecedented time for information sharing, even though we are. Obviously, the needs to share information becomes greater and greater all the time. Obviously, we need to give the public more access to our data, and certainly within the government, interdepartmental sharing of information in a contextually relevant way is more important than ever. And that was the whole purpose, the whole reason that the CISA, the Information Sharing Act, came about. I think whilst there's certainly been critics of it, I think it's important to understand that most of the attackers out there freely share their exploit information in an unencumbered way. And I think whilst, you know, perhaps the details need to be nailed out, if we don't do the same in the cybersecurity arena, you know, we're missing a trick. But we also have to be careful. To quote Bruce Schneier, the more secure you make something, the less secure it becomes, you know, which is one of my favorite quotes. And to clarify, you know, the more secure you make systems, the more users are going to try and work around it in order to be able to keep the system usable. So we do have to keep sort of vigilant, but at the same time, make sure that we don't lose sight of why the systems are there to share information, to avoid post-it notes stuck to monitors and keys left under doormats and security doors propped open.
Great insights there, Tony. Thanks for that. And I love that analogy too. That's a great one. So let's shift focus a little bit. Let's talk about the government arena today, and why is cybersecurity so important for the government now?
Sure. You know, I think possibly the main event that highlighted this more than ever is the OPM breach that happened almost a year ago, exactly, almost to the day now. It's a case of again trying to provide accessibility without breaching the trust, without breaching, you know, putting at risk the integrity or changing a risk profile at all. And I think it's a huge challenge. I don't think that people realize, you know, what a challenge that is. I mean, the press are very heavily focused on data confidentiality to make sure that the wrong information or the information doesn't get into the wrong hands. But at the same time, people tend to seem to focus on that at the cost of integrity. So, for example, in the OPM breach, although many records were breached and possibly stolen, what if no data was stolen and the data was modified in place? You know, for example, and this is purely theoretical, I have no insight into the systems that they have there at all, but what if the OPM was breached and everybody with the lowest level clearance was modified to have the highest level clearance, and all of a sudden the data confidentiality becomes a much more significant issue because of the changes that have been made to the data integrity. So I think it's a real tough problem. I don't think anybody has a silver bullet or key to the answer, but you know, part of that solution is probably breaking down silos, interdepartmental silos, to share salient and contextual, again, attack information, risk information as it becomes available. It's no point in becoming aware of attacks in a siloed fashion when the rest of the government infrastructure becomes at risk because the information isn't shared in a relevant and time sensitive way. But I think to piggyback on the back of that as well, I think whilst security is important, I think one of the key balances between security and usability Certainly in the government, there tends to be an attitude, or in many places, of security at all costs. And I think there still needs to be a qualifying and logical why as to when we're securing things. So why am I doing this? Does it help us meet our core objectives, or are we just doing this for security theater? Are we doing it to make ourselves feel safe, even though logically it's not providing the security we need? So I think, you know, we have to go beyond just adding security for the sake of security and make sure that we're doing it for the right reasons, and we're not just fooling ourselves.
That's great. This plays, I think, very well into my next question. Let's talk about the MySQL security approach. This could be, I imagine, a solution to some of these challenges. So tell us about this approach, Tony, if you don't mind.
Sure. I think that one of the things we try to do is we try to go as close to secure by default as possible. So when we perform installation of MySQL, we have a large amount of configurability. We're making the standard configurations relatively well locked down. So I wouldn't go as to say it is secure by default in all cases, but certainly secure by default in a relevant way to the deployment. So we do our very best to make it quick and easy to deploy the product in a secure manner to the needs of the user and to the needs of the security profile. Of course, it's an open source product, which gives us inherent security through the benefit of many eyes, the same reason that Linux is a very, very popular platform now within the data center, because it's open source, because it's open to general purview. So I think that's a big strength for us as well. And of course, being a part of Oracle, I think everybody's aware that Oracle is very, very sensitive to security being a top priority within their products. And that can be seen certainly in the growth and maturity of our product over the last few years, and seeing all of the work that we're doing in and around the security tools and the core security of the product. So, you know, people are familiar with MySQL. Many people are familiar with MySQL because they came up with it and they've worked with it for many years. But a lot of people haven't worked with it recently. And I think it's important to understand and highlight that the MySQL of, you know, 5, 7, 8, 10 years ago is certainly not the same MySQL that people are dealing with today.
Interesting. Thanks for that, Tony. Let's talk a little bit more about secure by default and that concept. That might be a new idea for some of our listeners. So dive a little bit more onto that, if you don't mind. I'd love to hear more.
Sure. I mean, so security by default is, in the software world, certainly anyway, gives a profile where the default configuration settings of the software are really locked down as tightly as they possibly can be. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's the most user-friendly way of deploying the tool, but it gives people the ability to push a piece of software out where they absolutely minimize the risk of it being compromised or attacked within the first few minutes of deployment, which is obviously, you know, the time when software can be most vulnerable, when you've got no passwords set and you've got very little security, as many software packages still do. But again, you know, this has to be compared to the risk, obviously, but it also has to be usable as well. So when I say we try to be as secure by default as possible, obviously when we're pushing MySQL out there into the environment, what we need to do is we also need to make sure that we don't have the networking locked down if we're doing a remote deployment, obviously, because then you'll push out a package that you have no access to. So we've tightened it down as much as we can for the default installation that still allows access and things like that, but we also give you the tools and the capability to lock that software down. So I guess that's it in a nutshell. I mean, there isn't really a precise meaning. It's still relatively nebulous term, but certainly that's the concept behind it, is the ability to nail down a piece of software in terms of security as much as possible before you push it out, to reduce your risk profile whilst making installations of software.
Got it. Great. Thank you for that, Tony. Now, this might be a slight curveball or perhaps the million-dollar question, but would love to hear from you some insights on some cybersecurity best practices for our listeners.
Okay. I think I can probably talk sort of certainly confidently in terms of best practices regarding our product. You know, I'm certainly no, I wouldn't go out there and say I'm a security consultant in the broad sense of the specification by any means, definition by any means, but certainly, you know, we have regular security podcasts, you know, webcasts, I should say, around security involving MySQL. Just recently, we've had some that are now available on demand for example, securing MySQL in a SaaS environment. We've introduced new features like transparent data encryption. So we've got access to we've published webinars on that you can also go and watch a pre-recorded event from that. How to secure MySQL databases. So that's certainly the first step, I would say. And beyond that, if security really is a priority within an organization, we have the Enterprise Edition, which I'm sure you can understand is the edition of MySQL that holds the most security features, because it's designed to be used in an environment where, you know, the data has a certain amount of criticality, and it's much more essential to have that security profile reduced. So we have tools like MySQL Firewall, which we introduced this year, which is a whitelist type firewall to try and help people avoid and defeat SQL injection attacks. We have a very strong audit tool, which is getting updated and becoming more flexible all the time. And I believe we're about to release, or we have just released, an even more granular set of capabilities for our audit functionality. We've got asymmetrical encryption tools built in. We've got transparent data encryption, authentication, and of course, monitoring and encryptable and compressible backup on the fly as well. So all of these tools we create to help people create a much better risk profile within their environment. And on top of that, we've also got the typical basic rules. So obviously, you know, make sure that the passwords are of an appropriate strength. We've got tools to help you make sure that happens. Make sure they're changed out regularly. Make sure that, you know, accounts are locked down if they don't meet the appropriate criteria and things like that. So all of these items that are brought into the core product and beyond with enterprise tools to help people manage that those best practices within their environment. So it's no different to any other tool. Make sure it's monitored, make sure it's locked down, make sure you know when something is happening, or in our case, obviously with our proactive monitoring tools, make sure you know when something may be about to happen before it does. So I think that's probably, you know, a kind of overview of best practices. I don't think it would be sensible to go even more granular than that. But what I would say is take some time to check out the recorded webinars on our site, and you'll be able to get a much better handle on it than I can give here.
Perfect. Thank you for that, Tony. So now let's talk about the future. What does the future hold for MySQL, especially when it comes to the cybersecurity side?
So going back to what I said, you know, right at the beginning, the MySQL of today is significantly different from the MySQL of the past, certainly. So we're looking to add more access control, more granular access control, and better access controls. Obviously, we want to add more encryption to give people more options. The other thing that we're focusing on heavily is auditing. Auditing is obviously essential in just about every government deployment that that I've ever come across anyway. But on top of that, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, it's also important to improve the ease of use and the ease of deployment of these security features, because if something's just too difficult to implement, then people are going to be reluctant to use it. And what we need is people using and implementing these security features, and the easier you make that, the better it is. And that doesn't mean it's at the expense of granularity. But certainly, it gives people an ability to implement them easily and then use the granularity and fine tune them later to give them exactly the control that they need over them. We're looking to make all of this stuff better integrated. So for things like auditing, it depends on what you want to audit. Some things need to be audited more closely than others. And integrating that potentially with other systems or other parts of your environment are going to be key to making sure that you monitor the right things and you don't have to spend too much time filtering the important stuff from the non-important stuff. So I guess, it's just more of everything that we already have and making it better and easier to use and better integrated with other systems that are out there. And I think the transparent data encryption and the way it integrates with other PKI solutions that are already out there, I think that's kind of the way we're going with a lot of the things that we're implementing for the future. But the future looks bright. Certainly, there's no let up in Oracle's investment into MySQL. We're growing. We're adding more features and functionality of a very high quality, and the performance and stability keeps increasing on our database as well. So I think that the future is bright.
That's great. Tony, this has been a wonderful interview and really, really appreciate your time today. Before we sign off, is there anything else to add? Anything we may have missed?
No, I think again, I'm going to reiterate that there are going to be a lot of seasoned professionals in the government that were familiar with MySQL of 5 years ago, of 7 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago. A lot of us cut our teeth on MySQL as our first database before we got into the real enterprise databases because it was open source and it was free. MySQL has evolved a lot since those times. It's much more mature and performant now. It's much more secure. And I would encourage anybody out there who is, looking for a very competent database with a great TCO on it that has the mature security features that are required to be used in governmental projects, to actually take a look at MySQL of today. We released 5.7. Our latest version GA is 5.7 about 6 months ago or so, 7 months ago. I would encourage anybody that has projects to take it out for a spin, give it a try. I think you'll be impressed with the changes that have happened over the years. Also, as a closing note, obviously, don't forget to swing by mysql.com. Whilst you're there, you can take a look around. As I mentioned, we've got the webinars, the on-demand webinars, and the upcoming live webinars that are there that I mentioned earlier. We've got white papers for best practices, and you can learn all about the Enterprise Edition, where I spoke about the auditing, the firewalls, the transparent data encryption, and understand a lot more about what we're doing and where we've been and how we've built the product to be the product it is today. So again, take a swing by mysql.com. There's a lot happening and a lot of interesting things to look at and learn about the product.
That's great. What a perfect way to end this interview. For all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive GovTransformer podcast interview with Tony Holmes, who's a principal pre-sales consultant with Oracle, who's kind enough to talk about the ever-expanding cyber threat landscape, as well as the MySQL security approach. And Tony, thank you so much for your time today.
Again, my pleasure. Thank you.